In 1888, 135 years ago, what is probably a pretty common, it was a postcard at the time, a picture was created and sent out. It was later dubbed My Wife and My Mother-in-Law, and it's an illusion photo. And I've got a picture of it here. How many people have seen this before? Yes, it's very common. So the question is, do you see the young woman or the old lady in this picture? Right? And how many people see the old lady? How many people see the young woman? Oh, there you go. It's, I know for you, the first time I saw it, it took me so long to try. How many see both? Yeah, we see both, right? In it. It speaks into our assumptions. We see, therefore, we conclude certain things from what we see, right? In John chapter 8, Jesus is in the temple. It's one of the festivals that's going on, and he actually says these words, that I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. And so he's kind of talking about this. What do you see? He's there to bring light. So today, what we want to do is look at this and establish what Jesus is teaching through this. But then I've got a section I think we need to talk about how we look at ourselves as a church, because it's very important that we apply it within that light. So in John chapter 9, if you're following, that's our actual text today. Jesus, that line about I am the light of the world. So there's seven I am statements in John. Last week was I am the bread. This week I am the light. Next week is I am the gate. And so forth. It goes on throughout John with those things. And it's really about correcting the assumption. So let me just read it. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Okay? Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? Jesus said, and I put this verse up on the screen here. It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. And then he concludes this by saying, we must quickly carry out the task assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. So there is a lot going on here. So I want to break it down, okay? The first thing Jesus responds is, you guys are asking the wrong question. And the disciples have assumed some things. And it goes back to the Ten Commandments. In Genesis chapter 20, verse 3, the second commandment, you must not make yourself an idol of any kind or image. And it says that those that worship other gods, I lay their sins of the parents upon their children, and the entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who rejected me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations for those who love me and obey my commandments. So Jesus is saying here, so here's what's happened, and here's what happens all the time. So that one line about the sins were passed on to the third and fourth generations has sort of gotten into the mindset of the Jewish people. And we know that the Pharisees, in their centuries-long work to interpret the Torah, started building in traditions and started building in ways of practice and what it all meant. And they got to a point where they loved their traditions more than what does the word really mean. And so this thought about if someone is blind or there's obviously something wrong, there's only two things that could be. Either this person's a sinner or their parents are sinners. Which one, Jesus? A or B? And Jesus says, wrong question. When we read the scripture, our first job is always to say, what is the original intent of why it was written? We cannot, we got to resist the thing to say, this is our current situation, therefore, what does the Bible say about it? When we go to, we have to reverse that order. We have to learn how to ask good questions around all of that. And Jesus is trying to teach his disciples that whole thing. And he's saying, you're missing the point in all of this. I mean, this is how various cults, I mean, the Jehovah's Witness, right? They took out that the word is God and put a word is a God and created a whole movement on that misinterpretation of that. The Mormons, you know, the one verse about baptizing for the dead and created a whole thing around all of that. I mean, even in the Protestant thing, right? We take verses like, he wants us to be prosperous, and then we put the whole gospel, the whole health and wealth gospel about, that means he wants you to be financially prosperous, right? And it doesn't talk about that. And so we take this, and the list could go on and on and on. You look at the church history, baptizing is by immersion, but then there's arguments for sprinkling. You know, we pick topics, women in ministry, and, you know, that's been debated throughout the church life and history. We pick out one sin and focus on that. And it's like, wait a minute, what is God trying to say? We're trying to put our current situations into it. And Jesus is saying, stop right there. Let's look at this from a different perspective. Because what happens when we do that, right? So the disciples are looking at this blind guy, and all of a sudden, so he's got shame, he's got guilt, he's judgment upon him, indignation towards him. But yet we talk about this love and this Holy Spirit and that God is love, right? So that's the danger of not understanding the whole thing. And so Jesus is saying, I am the light of the world. So the way to do this is really to really ask good questions, right? So one question that has really helped me lately has been, rather than sort of come into a situation and look, what's going on here? What are my thoughts? What are my opinions? It's like, wait a minute, God, what are you doing here? And how can I join in with you? It's a simple question, but it changes the whole aspect. Paul kind of talks about that in Romans 8. He says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for his believers. And then this well-known verse, and we know that God causes everything to work together for good for those that love God and are called according to his purpose for them. Isn't that cool? Like, that's the mindset that Jesus is talking about here. And so he's saying, don't have the mindset of, are they a sinner or are their parents sinner? He says, I want to show you. What's this one line here in verse 3? But this happened that the works of God might be displayed in him. Another version says that so the power of God could be seen in him. And then we go into this fascinating dialogue. So Jesus spits in mud and applies it to him and sends him away to the pool and has him dip, and his sight is restored. And he comes back to his neighborhood, and people are like, this guy looks like the beggar, but that can't be him, right? And they're like, and he's like, it's me, everybody. I was blind, but now I can see. And he says, well, how did this happen? And they says, well, this Jesus did it. And then the neighbor's like, well, but it happened on a Sabbath, right? And so this begins a whole trajectory of misplaced conversation, right? So, well, let's take him to the Pharisees and see what happened and have them investigate all of this. And so they go to the Pharisees, And in verse 13, it says, and 14, the Pharisees asked the man all about it. So he told them, put mud in his eyes, washed it away, and I could see. And so the Pharisees start debating over this whole thing. Like, well, I was on a Sabbath, so that's not right. This Jesus guy is a sinner, so this is not right. And then some of the others are going, like, wait a minute. He was healed. He was blind from birth, and now he can see. And so they're getting argumentative on this whole thing, and they can't figure out. And so they go back to the guy, and they say, well, what do you think? And he says, well, I think this guy, Jesus, must be a prophet. And they're like, we don't want to believe that. And so they keep pressing in. They keep getting distracted. Let's go get his parents and ask his parents. So they bring his parents in, and they said, was this guy blind from birth? And his parents are like, yes, he was blind from birth. But then the parents get fearful, and when they start pressing on Jesus, because it was well known at that time that if you had any belief in Jesus, you would be kicked out of the synagogue and kicked out of the temple. And it wasn't just being kicked out, it was being ostracized. Probably your businesses would get hurt. Employment opportunities would disappear. You would be ostracized in your community. So it was a big thing to do that. And the parents got fearful. And this is all a very human response, isn't it? Right? When chaos is going around, we're trying to make sense of it. And we argue. We're fearful. And then they say to the parents, say, look, ask him, he's an adult, right? And so they go back to this guy again, and I just love this part of the dialogue in verse 24. So they go back to him a second time and said, God should get the glory for that, right? This is what they determined, right? Let's remove Jesus from this and just say God gets the glory, because we know this Jesus is a sinner. And the blind man who was healed says, I don't know if he was a sinner. All I know, I was blind. Now I can see. And that doesn't satisfy them. And they say, well, tell us what happened again. And he says, look, I told you. Why do you keep asking? Do you want to be his disciple too? Which really stirred the pot. Oh, I love that. It's so good. And they said, we don't know this man. We are disciples of Moses. And this man, is a sinner. And he says, that's very strange in verse 30. He says, he healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he came from? We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. Of course, that does not satisfy them. And they say, you're a sinner, and they kick him out of the synagogue. What a jumbled mix of responses and emotions. And it all stems from the beginning of what did they see? Right? What was their platform they chose? Every character in this, they chose to go down a path based upon what they saw. And Jesus is saying in the middle of this, I want you to see something different. I want you to see the power of God. I want you to know that I am the light of the world. As followers of Christ, this is to be our vision, right? And so, what does this mean? I've been, my role here in a transitional time. And I've said this before, I just love this place dearly, and I love this group and you guys dearly. And I just have such a heart for the eyesight of the Lord to grow mightily here. You guys are a mature congregation, there's no question. And I don't mean age, I mean spiritual maturity. It's here. And so the Lord wants to do something here. But he's asking us to recheck, where is our sight? What are we looking at? You know, there's been a series of events here and lots of decisions and some breakdowns of relationships. And we're weeding through that. And the question is, really, the Lord is saying, what does the church of Jesus Christ look like? So I want to kind of talk about this in two ways. One is on the practical, right? We are a group, we're a church, we're an organization, and it's important that we do things well. We've learned lessons and are learning lessons. And having good processes and understandings and communication and teamwork and all those aspects are very important part of all that. Because when you don't have good systems and good things, things break down and people get hurt. And that's been some of the things that we collectively as a church have to come to and saying, yeah, there were not some good times in all of that. And so as we walk through this, it's happening on many different levels, as you know, privately, within leadership and all of that. But there is a need to do some public coming back and saying, here are some key things we've learned, church. Here are some key understandings, some new ways we want to operate. Here's some deeper healing we want to do. So there is going to be a public form of that, probably in April, after we get through spring break and the Easter season here. So I want to make sure that you understand that we are still working on those things. And there's some deep things happening. And I'm excited to be able to come back to the congregation in a public form and talk about those and kind of really not like have a significant time of closure around that, because the Lord has something much bigger. You know, we've launched the search for a new lead pastor. That's part of this whole process. And over the next 4 weeks or so, the search team will be launching some prayer guides and initiatives to pray around that. But I want us to do this in new eyesight. This is really about, where is God taking us? Where is he leading us? And it's not so much about a job or a role, although it is. It's what posture do we want to take? You know, we've been talking just here today about this passage about Jesus telling his disciples that you've taken the wrong posture, guys. You're asking the wrong question. He said, this is about the power of God to be seen through this situation with the blind man. And I believe that here. I just, you know, right from day one, and I've shared this before as well, is that God has an important and big calling for this church. He really does. But it's going to take us walking through this and collectively getting our eyesight on the right things. Not that we haven't. I'm not making any statements on the past or any negative things on that. But we've all been affected by the past, and we've all been affected by, you know, our beliefs or whatever around it. And I just really think the Lord is asking us to press in and see what he has for all of us. So it's about our posture in this. You know, one of my favorite verses is, I forget where it is, but Paul said it. I think it's Corinthians. He says, so we don't focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen? So what is the unseen work that God is preparing this place for? And are we willing to figure out how to work through it? I'm not saying ignore hurts or ignore thoughts or ignore we didn't like this or that type of thing. We'll work through those. But what's our goal? We want to be focused on what is unseen, because God has something much, much bigger for us. So I guess I say all that to ask, to encourage, that And I really feel the Lord is saying, because of the level of maturity and understanding here, he has something more and deeper. And so there is a responsibility in that as well. Jesus, after the blind man who was healed, got kicked out of the synagogue, went and found him. And he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the guy says, "Who is he, sir? I want to believe in him." And he says, "You have seen him, and I am he." Right? Or he is speaking with you. And the man said, "Yes, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Then Jesus told him this. And I have a slide up here. Verse 39, it says, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who will see will become blind." This is our calling. Like, this is our calling to see the world and see the situation in a different way. So, I think Brian, when he spoke a few weeks ago, he said, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It's about God and what he wants to do there. It's not about our past. It's not about our future. We have a responsibility to replace earthly sight with spiritual sight. And it's interesting because some of the Pharisees heard this conversation and said, "Are you saying we're blind?" And then Jesus ends this chapter here and he says, if you were really blind, you would be blameless. But since you claim to see everything so well, your accountability for your every fault and failure." See, the Pharisees had believed they understood. They knew how it was going to lay out. They view that this guy was either a sinner or his parents were a sinner, period. Right? But Jesus is saying, because you fail to see the bigger picture, you are very responsible and accountable for every fault and failure. That's pretty heavy. And as followers of Christ, our constant journey is to say, "Lord, what is going on here? What are you doing here? And I want to join in." So that's our task. That's our goal, right? As we launch prayer things, as we have public meetings, as we continue to worship together and do ministry together and figure out where God is taking all of us. Our individual responsibility is to do this self-check of saying, "Okay, Lord, what is going on here? What do I need to change? What do I need to do?" And let's work through it together, because there is, and I'm going to be excited to follow this journey wherever it goes, there are dynamic and important things that the Lord wants us to do as a church and as individuals. I just want to close with that, go back to that passage in Exodus. I'll have the worship team can come up here, where the disciples forgot the second part of this. "But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commandments." This is what the Lord loves to do, right? We love the kids coming forward. We love the generations that are here. And our job is to make sure future generations are seeing Christ and lavishing and soaking up his unfailing love for 1,000 generations. Amen? So, it's a good word. Jesus is the light of the world. And there is an urgency in this, right? Back in thing, he wants to show his power. And he says, we must quickly carry out the tasks. There is an urgency in this. This is not just something we can delay. The Lord has a timeline and a things, and we don't want to miss it. So, Lord, we give you this work. Let me just pray for us here. Lord, I know that this place loves you. I know the hearts love you, and there is love for each other. Take us to new heights and new understanding and a new view of all that you have to see your power done proclaimed here, Lord. Just bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.